So, very mindful that the young ones are in with us, and has anyone of the younger generation heard of the book of Leviticus? Show of hands. Give you a little clue. There's an old song that goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1st and 2nd Samuel, and I'll stop right there. But so Leviticus, did anyone count what book in the Bible that is? What number book? We've got a bit of sign language. 3. It's the 3rd book in the Bible, and it sits within those first 5 books of the Bible. I'm not suggesting you go home this afternoon and just tuck right in and read the whole thing. Even some of the grown-ups might find it a little bit heavy. Very honest. Thanks for that, Dawn. So it's a little bit of a risk, but I hope you come with me. We're going to read a very small passage in Leviticus. And for some of us, we've been looking at this book together over some time. We're still in chapter 2, so it's making slow progress. But I would like maybe a volunteer. I'm thinking Joe Fitzgibbon, but I don't want to put any pressure. Would you be able to come and read for us? Partly because I love Joe so much. Partly because I love the Irish accent. But also, just before Joe reads, kids and young people, I've got a little task for you, okay? He's just going to read. This is a great friend of mine who I knew when I was much smaller. That's small. So Joe's going to read from Leviticus chapter 2, and he's just going to read 13 verses, okay? Your task, are you up for this? It's not Mission Impossible, this is doable. Your task is to listen to Joe, okay? And what I want you to do is try and discover, and I'm going to give you a clue here, the 4 ingredients that are mentioned. And it's part of what's called the grain offering, okay? So all you have to do is listen carefully and see if you can get 4 ingredients that go into the grain offering. Does that sound like a plan, young people? And adults, you too, listen. See if you can identify those 4, but I'm going to ask the kids if they can tell us afterwards. Is that okay, Joe? Sorry to put you on the spot, but I really appreciate you coming all the way over to do this reading for us.
You read chapter 2?
Chapter 2, 1 to 13. 1 to 13, yeah. Sorry.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a new accent, so it's a good thing for you to hear it first before I read the really important words. I want to say how wonderful it is. And when I was sitting there, I said, you know, when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful day that will be. I see friends that I haven't seen in 20 years, and it's like this morning. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to see you. Sorry.
Keep going.
Could I ask you please to stand with me as we read the Word of God? When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it and bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests. And he shall take from it a handful of fine flour and oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall burn this as its memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But the rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the Lord's food offerings. When you bring a grain offering baked in the oven as an offering, it shall be unleavened loaves of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers smeared with oil. And if your offering is a grain offering baked on a griddle, it shall be of fine flour unleavened mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. And if your offering is a grain offering cooked in a pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And you shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. And the priest shall take from the grain offering its memorial portion and burn this on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. But the rest of the grain offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the Lord's food offerings. No grain offering that you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven or any honey as a food offering to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you may bring them to the Lord, but they shall not be offered on the altar for a pleasing aroma. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. That was precious, wasn't it? To stand together, to hear the word of God read out loud, and for us to listen to the precious word of God. So, coming to our younger friends, did you hear those four ingredients? Now, some of the ingredients came thick and fast in the early part of the reading. I'll give you another clue, three of them. And then the first two got repeated a number of times. And then we had to wait, didn't we, towards the end, if you were listening carefully. So that's a good little technique to get you to listen all the way to the end. The last one was hiding just at the end. Go on, have you got one of them?
I've got all of them.
Oh, well done.
Salt.
Okay, hold there. I know you've got them all, but I'm just wondering if some of your friends, you rest easy, that's great that you've got them all, but salt, so he's working backwards from the last one, isn't he? Salt. Yes, over at the back there. Flour, so he's gone for the, well done, he's gone for the first one, so we've got flour, and we've got salt, and we've got oil was the second one, wasn't it? And then there's one more, go on Molly. Frankincense. Wow, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And I heard someone saying something there. For some bonus points, because I know there's a little bit of a competitive edge going on already. Try and keep that under wraps just for now. But any ingredients that were mentioned or things specifically that were mentioned that we can't put in this offering? Go on, Dawn. Honey. Yeah, no honey. Leaven, yes, otherwise known as yeast. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well done, by the way. I mean, just let's pause there and appreciate the power of active listening. So, on the screen, and I'm not entirely sure, let's see. No, we're going to go tech team, dream team, collaboration. So, you were absolutely right. Number one. Yeah, flour. And it was interesting because what was mentioned with the flour, and if you were here for part one, it's fine flour. Fine flour. Okay? And the next one, please. Oil, yeah. Probably olive oil. Anyone know how you get the oil from the olive? We won't go too deep into this. That'll do. Yeah. Squeeze. Little bit like wine. Well, initially grape juice from grapes. Same. Squeeze. Thank you. And the third one. Now, I don't know if... I was going to get a picture of frankincense in its original form. But this one, the third one, frankincense there on the left. And then on the right, that's the idea of the purpose of this. Did anyone hear that as we read? What's the purpose of the frankincense? Aroma, sweet, sweet smelling savour, sweet aroma. That's beautiful, isn't it? Someone talked about this. In fact, Marg did just the other week. Do you remember? She came up here, that really blessed me. And she talked about just in the natural, a fragrance and putting a fragrance on And actually, one of the points she made was that as the day goes on, she's unaware. But every so often, someone would comment, say, "Oh, that's a beautiful smell. There's something lovely there, isn't it?" That the benefit of the fragrance is not for the one who is the fragrance, it's firstly to the Lord. But we'll see, hopefully in a few moments, that this fragrance is something so precious that others can sense and smell. And then finally, love a bit of salt. I think I mentioned last time, Chan and I were in the thick of a health program. No added salt. It nearly killed me, I'll be honest with you. Now, I've kind of recalibrated, in moderation, but just a touch of fine sea salt. So there are the four. Can we just go back to the flower just for a moment? Is that okay? And then we'll just, just one forward. There we go. So just to catch us all up very briefly, our little study in Leviticus, our way in, if you like, our key to unlock these passages has been a very specific one. And I don't know if you're aware, but in Luke chapter 24, it speaks of Jesus who is communicating with two of his disciples who are actually quite downcast. They've lost hope. Things had not gone according to plan. And their hearts were broken. And I love the way the Lord draws alongside. You can read it in Luke 24. Don't go there now. But it just says into that context, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We've already sung, he is the pearl of greatest price. Sorry, Paul. But far more precious, even than Paul's hat. Now, it's not the hat, is it, Paul? It's what's attached to that in terms of life experience. There'll be sentiment, there'll be other things that speak particularly to Paul about that. And he finished his point. It's Christ. And he's our robe of righteousness. So precious. And kids, if you in your young lives, by God's grace, can discover the beauty and the kindness and the grace and the sweetness of Jesus, you will have found early on the treasure of inestimable worth, priceless, Jesus. And Jesus came to these two broken-hearted disciples and he explained, that word is quite a big one, isn't it? Expounded. He opened it all up. He explained. He made it accessible so that they should, and it says further on down, he opened their understanding too, that they should understand and comprehend the word of God. So, the word of God is wonderful, but you know what? We need help. Yeah, and even this morning, I'm praying. I've been praying all week in preparation. And pray, even now as we engage together, we need not just knowledge with our heads. Oh, yeah, I get that. It's good to engage like that, but that won't do on its own. We need something called revelation. Yeah? Me and Phil had a revelation that we weren't expecting this morning. When Paul was searching for his money belt. Basically, something that was hidden, revealed. Yeah? In a similar way, there are things that without the revelation remain hidden. We don't see them. You can look for them, but you don't find them. You don't see them. But by God's grace, he's super willing, ever so keen, to open up the Bible so that you can see things that are in his heart, things about him. Yeah? Isn't that exciting? Often we talk with our daughters about reading the Bible's a bit like a treasure hunt. And we go in search, praying, oh Lord, help us find the treasure. Yeah? Beautiful. So we had that reading. We got the four ingredients. And the first one, and this is just, we want to just look at this together. Okay, we won't get too deep into all of the different verses that we've read. But the first ingredient, you were absolutely right, is fine flour. And last time, briefly, we saw how that was actually bruised grain, firstly. Bruised grain. Beaten grain. And our point from those verses in Luke is that actually these offerings in Leviticus speak ahead of time, way ahead of time, of the one who's coming. Come on. This Jesus, this pearl of greatest price, this treasure of immeasurable worth and preciousness. All of the scriptures. That's one way to look at the old. All of it speaking, pointing to the Christ. The fine flour, not just flour, fine flour, speaking of the Christ in his tempers, his character, perfection. Such evenness. He was able, guess what, kids? He was able to be angry, but without losing his temper. Whew. He was able to be angry at the wrong, at the injustice, at the misuse of his father's house. Even, I don't know if you've read this bit yet, but he even turned tables over and cleared it out. And yet not for one moment did he sin. He was perfect in his righteous anger. Isn't that amazing? I'm just going to hold my hand up right now. Sometimes I get angry and it's not like that. In fact, I have to admit, before I was the Lord's, I'm just going to be really honest with you all now. I tried ever so hard to be a nice boy. Yeah, people thought I was a nice boy. But inside I had a temper that could flare up like fire. Another bit of personal. Keep this to yourselves, okay? Aware this might go out on the internet. Sorry, Tim. But my brother Tim, if you don't know, I'm the youngest of three. And my brother Tim had a particular gift. He's a very gifted man. This particular gift was winding me up. Boy, he was skilled. He was an artisan in this particular craft. He knew how to just poke. And then at times just put in the corkscrew and just twist it round. And I would turn and turn and get wound up like a top. And then obviously part of the joy for him was the fulfillment of what was coming. I would completely lose it. And we'd end up, again, keep this to yourself. Mum, if you're on Zoom, you did a great job. It wasn't your fault. We would at times, it was bare fists. Now I'm not at all recommending that. So much so that at one point to manage it, Mum got us two mattresses and said, please don't fight, but you can wrestle. I thought that was brilliant. Now that I'm a parent, I thought, wow, that was an amazing bit of genius on Mum's part. Burning off that energy. But here we come back to the Lord. perfect in his tempers. The fruit of the Spirit, we read in Galatians, in perfect fruition, love, joy, peace, patience, and you can read them all. Oh, glory to Jesus. He's the grain offering. He's the fine flour. Was that a bit loud? I got excited. You know what? I love Jesus with all my heart. And my heart's a little heart, but I'm so glad he's taken my little offering. Love him. The best thing you can do is just respond simply to the love of God in Jesus. The greatest purpose for any of us is to know we're loved by God and to respond in kind. He's the fine flower. You know what? The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, which is a member of the Godhead. And we saw very briefly in Luke, you remember, he was in the wilderness, this Jesus of ours, when he came, the bread of life, the irony of it, the devil comes and tempts him along the line of turning stones into bread. I mean, what was he thinking? And he was a hungry man at this point. And his reply, man shall not live by bread alone. Yeah, and then it goes on and it talks about the Holy Spirit. It talks about how he was led after being baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down and then he was led into the wilderness. We've already been told there'll be wilderness times. This Jesus forging the way, redeeming every step he took. Praise his wonderful name. And then we see him, don't we, as he comes out filled with the power of the oil, filled. This bread anointed with the oil. And he says then, he opens the book. Oh, it's bouncing. It's alive. It's throbbing in reality. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord, the oil, is upon me because he has anointed me to preach. Amen. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Fulfillment in Christ. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. He was standing as he read. And all the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. There it is. There's something about the Christ. This is the grain offering being outworked right before their eyes. They may not have fully got it, but this is the bread. This is the fine flour right there, anointed with oil and speaking. The fulfillment. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Glory to God. This is Jesus. Praise his wonderful name. And we read, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. It's the grain offering. Right there. Oh, hallelujah. Broken bread, feeding the hungry. Great sorrow. Great joy, anointed, there it is again, anointed with joy above all his companions. Loss and gain. Oh, do you want to worship him? Don't wait till I'm done. Let your heart respond to him. As we go through, it's a meditation on the beauty of Christ. There is no other. He's the one. So we come to the third, frankincense. And we're going to briefly touch on these two to finish our offering. There it is. Representing, as I've meditated on these things, representing primarily life of prayer. What do you think? We could say more, but oh, the sweetness. Oh, the fragrance of the offering of the life of Jesus. And interestingly, the full impact of the fragrance is not fully known or savoured until it's submitted to the heat of the fire. Surely his name is like ointment. Fragrance. Poured forth. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Not just the fire of the cross, but that was where he was headed, but the fire of misunderstanding, the fire of persecution, the fire of all manner of things. You can track it through the Gospels. You look how they went for him. There were watershed moments, weren't they? And this blessed Jesus, utterly perfect, offering himself every day as food for a hungry world. You remember we distinguished between the burnt and the grain. The burnt primarily, wholly consumed to God. The food offering, the grain offering, in a sense, love your neighbour. Yeah? Do you remember that? And there he was. Day in, day out. All of us. Feeding, providing, being broken, giving himself. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And as he did, the smell, the aroma, a blessing to the Father's heart. Oh, how wonderful. Listen to this. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, can you hear it? Can you smell it? With vehement cries and tears. You know, Jesus cried, kids. Do you ever cry? Yeah, we all do. It's okay. It's coming a day where he'll wipe away every tear. Bless the Lord. But Jesus came into this broken world and he wept. He laughed a lot as well. Proper belly laughs. Really, he was fun. He was the whole man. He was wonderful. And he is wonderful. And he wants to be our friend. Sometimes we get lonely, don't we, in school. It's a very difficult time, school, for many of us. Just trying to find friends. Seriously. And then you think you found one. And then they go and do something, don't they? Or you do something. And you're like, oh, no. It's hard, really hard. But listen. Oh, what a friend I found. Closer than a brother. Jesus, Jesus, sweet smelling savour. And it says he cried with tears, prayers and supplications to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his godly fear. Though he were the son, a son, but with a big capital, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, all the things he went through. And as a man being perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of us who will obey him. It says in the Bible, if we love him, we'll obey him. Isn't that amazing? And it says also in one of John's letters, his commandments are not burdensome. That was a revelation to me. The sweetest thing in the world to obey the Lord Jesus. Yeah? He's got such wonderful plans for each and every one of us. Doesn't mean life won't be difficult and challenging. But oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. This life of prayer, this sweet smelling savour. Amazing, isn't it? The psalmist, if you want to look these up, you can. I'm just going to fly through them, but this is beautiful. The psalmist prays, oh, let my prayer be set before you as incense. Just having an inkling somehow that the prayer of a life is supposed to rise like a sweet smell. Sometimes we think prayer is all about just getting what we want. Let's be honest. Yeah? Dear Lord, please can I have that iPad for my birthday? He understands, but that's not what it's about, actually. There's something. Your life, in a sense, can become a prayer. Isn't that beautiful? But nothing can compare with the life of prayer of the grain offering himself. He ever lives to do what? Did you hear that, kids? They were good, weren't they? To make intercession for us. Let's hear that again. He ever lives
to make intercession for us.
It's a big word. Anyone know what intercession means? Sorry? Okay, he is acting on our behalf. Say again? Plead, yeah. Praying. Yeah. It's a type of prayer, isn't it? But this type of prayer, wow. Interceding on behalf of another. So this isn't, Lord, can you give me an iPad for my birthday? This is, with all my heart, bless this one. Even if it costs me everything. Do you see that? Bless this one. Even if it takes my whole life. Listen. He, the grain offering, our dear Lord Jesus, ever lives to make intercession. Seriously, this is... I know you know it, but I'm just going to say it. He's in a league of his own. We can't touch this. This isn't for you to stand on your tiptoes and go, oh... This is for us to fall onto our knees and then, whether literally or not, in our hearts... face down. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, there's no one like you. It's no wonder a rich theme in the New Testament is this. Jesus. Jesus. Behold him. Meditate on him. Eat him. Drink him. Follow him. Love Jesus. We heard it already in Paul's story. This one person. John chapter 4. Come see a man. Big capital M. The only man. Jesus. The grain offering. Oh, what a savour. What a smell. Paul says in Ephesians, walk in love. Are we doing okay, kids? I know I'm pushing the boundaries here. Are you still with me? Sorry, I get ever so excited about this. I hope you remember these four ingredients. If you remember that, oh, may the Lord just breathe on his word and may later in your lives, even now, but may it grow. And you be blessed in the hands of Jesus. Paul says this, walk in love. And you might think, oh, here comes the application for us. But look at the center point. As Christ has also loved us and given himself for us. There it is. So in light of this, in fact, not just in light of, but in Christ. That's the revelation that we get to live in Christ. Live out by his grace. And then it goes on to say, like this, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. There you have it. The burnt offering had sweet smell. The grain offering has sweet smell. Filling the Lord's nostrils, so to speak. And Paul again, I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus. There's a name. Imagine being called Epaphroditus. We'd probably shorten it, wouldn't we? E. So having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma. So Paul is recognizing that in Christ our giving, our living, somehow by remarkable grace can be a sweet smelling aroma, a fragrance. Isn't that wonderful? And I keep coming back. I heard Matt speak to the young ones on Sunday night. Do any of you remember that recently, the last youth meeting? He talked about victory and fragrance. Victory and fragrance. And he quoted this. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. In Jesus, in Christ. And through us, get this, this is stunning. I still cannot get my head around this. Through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Have you ever thought that you're called to be a diffuser? It's a new one, maybe. Through us, this is God's choice. I don't fully get it. Seems like there's an awful lot of risk in this choice. But somehow I'm coming to see that his deliberate choosing of these clay vessels, these diffusers, is actually, as I said, deliberate. It's on purpose and with purpose that he should invest this treasure, this pearl, this beauty, this wonder. As my dad used to say, in those little clay jars that in India at the time would be filled with garam chai, and when you'd had the sweet nectar, they'd be tossed. So that was a bit harsh when he was using that illustration. But anyway, and you could hear them go clink, clink, clink. So fragile. The Lord doesn't just toss you. But we are so fragile. I don't know how to handle this. I feel broken in the presence of Jesus, and my prayer, I hope your prayer too, is, oh Jesus, Jesus, diffuse your fragrance even through me. I don't want to leave a bitter taste. Now it does say, we're not going to go there now for the sake of time. Sorry Phil, I'm pushing, aren't I? Are you alright? Yeah. Pull me down if I'm... It does say in that passage, to the one, the aroma of life, to life. To the other, the aroma of death, to death. Now, that's not that we go around deliberately trying to annoy people. That just means the gospel has a double-edged power. And it's not to do with you being really harsh. No, not at all. You are diffusing the fragrance of Jesus. But how a heart responds to that is what goes on there in terms of, is it to life or is it to death? But I want to be a diffuser to you. And as a church, we want to be a diffuser, don't we? Primarily to be a blessing, a sweet smelling savour to God, our Father. Is your passion his glory? Above and beyond anything else. First things first. And then. He looks after the rest, doesn't he? And finally, as we come to close, salt. Well, that's a big theme in itself. We're not going to go fully into it. But just to mention, and I think this is precious, this fourth and last ingredient is salt. And it is very interesting that both the salt and the frankincense contrast with the honey and the leaven. So the honey and the leaven, interestingly, in this context, promote decay and death. That's all to do with fermentation. We won't go into that now. That sounds like a school lesson, doesn't it? But the salt, mineral, wonderful properties. Yeah? Any ideas, kids? What does salt do? Just very quick. Anything about salt that you know? Seasons, nice one, kids. This is good. Thanks for that, Irene. We're all kids at heart, aren't we? Come on.
Put it there, brother.
Put it there. Go on, Sam. It begins with the pres. Yeah. You got it, Molly? Go on. Nice teamwork. Love what you did. Preserves. Preserves. If you salt meat, what would decay very quickly if left unsalted is kept good. That's wonderful, isn't it? Maybe you could take this away as a little bit of homework. Just go and research salt and see what wonderful thing it is. Yeah? It speaks of purity. It speaks of preservation. It speaks of preciousness. It speaks also of the everlasting nature of the covenant of God. There's a phrase that I wasn't too familiar with. It comes three or so times in the Old Testament. The salt of the covenant. Isn't that wonderful? And just as we come into close, oh, praise his name. Here we see Christ again. He's incorruptible. It was not possible for death to hold him. We read, don't we? For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. There he is, the Christ. Glory to his name. Oh, praise him. The everlasting covenant. He is the only one who could successfully and perfectly fulfill the covenant requirements on man's side. We get that, don't we? We see it throughout the old. We see it throughout that God is obviously perfectly faithful on his side. He's well able to perfectly keep his side of the covenant. The difficulty, and it's a major one, is that time and time and time again, God's people would fail to keep their side. There was a fault, and the fault was absolutely not on God's side. And here we come to a close, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. But finding fault with them, that's man's side of the covenant. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. And we know this scripture, don't we? But get this in the context of the salty covenant. I love it. Oh, bless his wonderful name. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, none of them his brother, saying, know the Lord, for you'll all know me, from the least to the greatest. Praise his wonderful name. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Oh, hallelujah. How is that possible? Come on. Jesus. Oh, praise his name. The grain offering. The burnt, the sin, the trespass, the peace, all of it. But our focus, he's the grain offering. Glory to his wonderful name. This covenant of salt, he has perfectly fulfilled. He's taken man's side, which was faulty. And he's perfected it. So it always takes two to tango. I don't know if you know that, but it really does. And in this context, covenant. God. And God sent a man to fulfill it. Perfecto. Can I have an amen? Amen? Yes, bless the Lord. This means that you are free, my friend. And it's not to do with your skill or ability or CV or whether you've blown it, how many times you've blown it. It's got absolutely diddly squat to do with any of that. It's got to do with Jesus, the perfect man. Christ Jesus, he's our Saviour. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Yeah, this is our Christ. We're going to finish now, definitely. I know I said it twice, but this is it. Oh, this is our Christ, the grain offering, the covenant-keeping man. Oh, glory to Jesus. He took the curse so that we might receive the blessings. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So how do we get up as we respond from this? Listen to this. This is a very practical bit of advice for all of us. You ready? By his grace, let your speech be always seasoned with salt. Yeah? Let your speech be always, and this is where we started, with grace. Isn't that interesting? With grace. Seasoned with salt. Oh, hallelujah. Should we say yes to the Lord again? I never tire of saying yes to the Lord, and he's here with us. He's got the kids on his knee. He's probably whispering to you right now, it's been a bit long. But it's okay, hang on in there. He's here. We started by standing. If you want to just love Jesus like you've never loved him before. The thing is, he's the perfect light. But amazingly, his light is supposed to shine brighter and brighter and brighter to the perfect day. So there's progress, there's change in our lives. And then staggeringly, when he comes. Seriously? We'll be like him. Why? Because we see him as he is. So if you want to love him, you may have different responses, but I'm just going to find a way in there. Anyone want to love him more in response? Well, let's finish by standing in the presence of the incomparable Jesus. He's the head of his church. He's the lover of our souls. He's the breaker of the power of sin. He's the one who lifts the heavy burdens. He's the healer of the broken hearts. He's the one who wants to flood our lives with fresh hope, faith, and love from heaven. Yeah?